StoreYourHealthNow.com.
Straight up tell me that you love me in Florida as they go head to head like a pair of rock'em sock'em robots. And that's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. Jump in on the action. It is warm, this water, and you are invited to the party. 800-259-5791. Will Florida actually settle anything at this point? It's looking like 97% chance that Mitt Romney wins this thing. If you did a little audit of all of the polls that are out there, Romney's ahead by at least 15%. But what about the others? Rick Santorum and Ron Paul, who is popular with a lot of people at cocktail parties, his name comes up. Every once in a while you hear someone say, Ron Paul says, smaller government. Yeah, and audit the feds, get rid of the Federal Reserve, and forget this deficit. And how about zero taxes? There are some of the things that he has said recently that are hitting home with a lot of Americans. But the problem with Ron Paul is he's not the so-called establishment guy. He's playing on a completely different team in a different zone. So his chances of grabbing that bid aren't good unless he rocks the boat and starts to come up with some of these delegates and starts to finish in bigger numbers in these caucuses. And hey, there's some big ones coming up in the next month, maybe by March, end of March, this thing's called, or April. But this show, the greatest big top television show moving from state to state when they hold the debates, is going to continue. A couple of weeks without a debate, people are going to be dying to find out what's going on. And honestly, I think Rick Santorum is going to hang in this for a while. Ron Paul hangs in it as long as possible till the end. But Santorum's more the question mark. Does he stay in this? Depends on the money. How far does he keep going if he doesn't win anymore and if he shows up in single digits? Because really, it's been boiled down on the major stage by the media, by the establishment, by a whole bunch of other people, to two people, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. And they're both lining up the endorsements and making a ton of campaign stops, and they're sure to slam each other at every single opportunity they get. Every stop, every time there's a camera in front of them, that's what's been happening, especially in Florida. It's happened a ton in Florida. So Tuesday is D-Day. The day is upon us. Next show, when we meet, we'll be talking about who won in the Sunshine State. All right, speaking of straight up, do you love me? We had another incident with the TSA. Strange deal here. You know, what do we want? What kind of security do we want? We know we need security at the airport. We've been down this lane a zillion times. I've been called out for saying, I think you need people who can look for suspicious behavior. You don't have to call it profiling it. Call it human behavior experts, because that's what you need. You need smart people who see what's happening through the checkpoints, whatever airport it is, whether it's the New York airports or whether it's a small regional airport, but not so small they don't have screeners. So check this story out. You got to hear this. A New York airport screener got two pipes from a traveler's bag, right? Pushed them aside on Monday morning. That ultimately led to a security scare, but 6 hours later, when the people who came in the next shift saw the pipes and thought they were pipe bombs. It happened at LaGuardia in New York, a very busy airport right outside of Queens, right there in Queens, actually. And when the screener saw the things just sitting there, that's when it all started. They screened the thing for explosives, thought they weren't a threat, cleared the passenger through, and then set the pipes aside. So when the next people came on, they saw them, thought they were test objects that they weren't screened right, then finally learned they weren't, but really shook people up. The bomb squad was called in, and they removed the two, the pipe things 6 hours after they were taken from the passenger. Wow, that was, whew, thank good we found those devices. And we didn't think they were a threat, but we just left them sitting out for 6 hours. And what it was is they were homeopathic medical devices. Something was in them, that's what they were. But they didn't know what it was. And this is what I love. So they have the police, they have the hysteria, they have the New York bomb squad. They had all that time in between, and there was no communication. So what do they say afterwards? Okay, from now on, we're going to try to determine how this happened, why it happened, and we're going to say that we're not going to have this communications breakdown again so we don't have that in the future. Hey, if it had been anything, all those people were goners because eventually it would have went off. And, they did look strange. It did. If you were going to look for a pipe bomb, it looked like a pipe bomb, but it wasn't. It was, as I said, a homeopathic thing. It just had that look of it, the way it was packaged. But to just push it aside and not have any notes or anything, hey, by the way, this is nothing. Don't worry about it. We already looked at it. It's not any kind of a bomb. So why don't we remove it? So Homeland Security, what do they have to say about a couple of things lately that have been going on? Jenna Napolitano talked about extremists and how tough it is. Take a listen.
Terrorism didn't begin with bin Laden. It's not over with his death. There are other Al-Qaeda-related groups, and we have the growth of homegrown extremists. If we have to look for a needle in a haystack, it makes sense to use all of the information we have about the pieces of hay to make the haystack smaller.
What an analogy. It sounds like when I'm fumbling around for an analogy, all the pieces of hay for the haystack. I am going to say it again. You could start with screeners. Hire ex-cops, detectives, people who would like to get back on the job, even if it's part-time and you round up enough people that want to do that, especially in high-risk areas. Pay them. They know what to look for. People that aren't comfortable going through. There clearly were signs the last time this happened. The one-way tickets we know, some of the people feeling uncomfortable, but this is what trained detectives can see, or human behavior experts versus, take our program, go through, no offense to the TSA. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to mix it up a bit here with a little odds and ends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Mike Pence with Midas Resources Incorporated, Senior Monetary Specialist. With foreign countries going bankrupt and states within the United States going bankrupt, not to mention all the Ponzi schemes in the marketplace, do you think your money and investments are safe? Of course not. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. I can help answer any questions you have about protecting your money, whether it be personal possession or holding precious metals in an IRA. Gold carries a 6,000-year history. It is the only real and lasting money in the world. Paper currencies have come and gone. Governments have toppled. The world map has changed many times, and yet gold still thrives in almost every country. Gold is the ultimate store of wealth. Central banks continue to maintain reserves of gold. Common sense begs the question, why? Let me help you answer that question. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. Call now, and I will send you free information on precious metals. Call Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come, Mr. John. One more time. One more time. One more time. Crazy Steve. And on your act. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come here, mama. And take your crazy Steve.
All right, let's mix it up. What's the buzz in your backyard besides Florida, blah, 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 and what's going to happen and the politicking of grabbing these delegates? And I'll tell you, Florida's not a game ender. There's no way at this point. It's too early. It's funny because it didn't start out that way. There was the big push for Mitt Romney, and he was going to get Iowa and New Hampshire in his backyard, and what was going to happen in South Carolina, maybe concede, move on to New Hampshire, move on to Florida. But now, if anything, nothing has been decided at this point. It's a case of then there were two and still four left out on the stage, and don't count Ron Paul out of this. I think for Rick Santorum has a lot of people that are backing him and think they like his brand of conservatism, but they realize, Rick is just not... He's just not making enough noise. He got Iowa. He burned up his shoe leather there. He doesn't have a lot of money. He's playing the game. He just released 4 years of, he's going to release 4 years of tax returns that he came up with. But he left Florida to travel back to some fundraisers and to find out how his daughter was doing. His three-year-old daughter was hospitalized with pneumonia in both of her lungs. So he's doing whatever he can, speaking to other people. He's going to spend time in Missouri and Minnesota and Nevada and Colorado. But how long does Rick Santorum stay in this thing? I guess if we looked at it in the beginning, Santorum would have been one of the guys you would think that would have dumped out, earlier at some point. So one thing we know is there's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to people that are in this race. Some people thought that Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, I knew he, having watched him in Texas, there was no way that he was going to get the nomination. There was no way he was going to hang in. And then he blew up with the debates. And we saw what happened with Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann and, you know, John Huntsman. You got to make a showing or eventually you're just not going to get the kind of support you need. In a new poll, Santorum started to gain some momentum. He got 16% in a Gallup poll of registered Republicans. That's up a couple of points from Friday. Gingrich had 28, Romney had 27, talking about, you know, the showdown is who in this contest who's gaining the momentum and who looks like they could maybe pull it off. So that's a big interesting number to see you jump up three or a couple of points. But, you know, like I said, this thing is at this point far from over. Even if it is whittled down to two, three, whatever, it's not, at this point, it's not in the bag. Let's put it that way. It's not in the bag. And it's all about scrambling for those delegates and pushing the dollars out there. And that's where Romney, I guess, has the edge because he's spending the most money of anybody out there. He can outspend everybody else with the negative campaign ads, and they do land. I mean, those ads have an effect on the people that ultimately go out in these primaries and, you know, make a show of it. It just registered. If they're done correctly, it catches your attention, and I guess that's the key thing here. It's catching attention. All right, speaking of not catching our attention, I mean, it's caught mine, it's caught several of yours, but what's going on in Syria? We've been talking about the Middle East and the jigsaw puzzle it is and the fate of Syria. The UN is now trying to figure out if they're going to call for Assad to step down. You think after all this time, you think we're going to have him, should we have him step down at this? Should we ask him to step down at this point? He's not going to step down, I can tell you that. I seriously doubt that. It's going to be one of those cat and mouse things. He's going to hang in as long as he can, and if things get too tight, then he's going to bolt. So what's ultimately, he's going to bolt and try not to end up with his head bashed in or in a gutter somewhere, like some of, like the previous dictator, because he's a dictator, but the previous dictator did if we watched the last show in Libya. He doesn't want to end up that way. So is he going to transfer the power, or is he going to step down and do it that way? So far we haven't seen that. And, you know, right now they're just condemning what's happening and saying step back and transfer it over. There's violence and residential areas all over the place. People are getting shot like dogs in the street. This is a familiar scene. So the Arab League suspended a mission to actually even monitor whether al-Assad was abiding in any way by an agreement to end the violence, the crackdown, because already thousands of people have died. More people have died there than in any of the other spots that we've talked about, you know, where there's been a regime change, because now we're on the fourth one. And what is the weight of the UN Security Council? That's what I would wonder. Are they listening to what the UN is saying? Is Syria going to sit up and pay attention to that? Meaning, is Assad going to do it? Our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, called for the council to send not a message that was in any way had to be interpreted, just a clear one of support to the Syrian people. I mean, and that's it. They're releasing these statements. We condemn the violence, the brutal attacks on the people. They continue to attack them, and there's no peaceful transition. There's instability. We're worried about it spilling over the region, blah, 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 blah. Same thing. This has been going on for 10 months. 10 months. But no one is really jumping into the fray of Syria. I mean, even the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, is saying that they're proposing their own resolution calling to end the violence by all sides, and they're rejecting foreign interference in Syria, and let's just start the whole dialogue without any kind of conditions. let's just move along in that direction. So, you know, more dead bodies, more Assad hanging on. You know, you're talking about kids, women, you know, whatever. You're up to Damascus now at this point. And, I mean, the details are just, I mean, just brutal. I don't even want to tell you what the details are on the show. I mean, just think of the worst things that a human being could do to another human being, and they're being done in Syria. And there's nobody really helping the people. There, what you're going to see is that whole, again, Muslim Brotherhood switch. And here we go again with another government in that, going in that direction, but leaving Syria exposed that way. I mean, the body count is incredible. You know, they're talking about thousands and thousands of people. They, since March, they're saying that it's probably exceeded 7,000 people. 7,000 people. All right, we got to end on an up note here for this segment anyway. After that, this is crazy. You always wonder what it would be like if you were in prison or you were left in prison and you weren't given your due, you know, justice, your due rights, you weren't prosecuted, none of that. There is a man, a New Mexican man, who was in solitary confinement in a county prison, they say, for 2 years. He was never prosecuted, and he won $22 million in a jury award because his constitutional rights were violated. As soon as I saw that number, that's got to be one of the biggest federal civil rights settlements in history involving any kind of an inmate. The guy's name was Stephen Slevin, and he alleges that he was essentially forgotten while they put him in jail. And he said, you know, it was never even about money. He's got post-traumatic stress from, he says, mistreatment by the correction people in the southern part of New Mexico. That's where he's being held. He was arrested in August 2005 and charged with driving while intoxicated and receiving a stolen car near Las Cruces, New Mexico. And he said that the prison segregated him because he had a history of mental illness, and they just threw him in there and they ignored him. So he's saying the mental illness, his attorneys were saying this, were made worse. He was malnourished. He had all kinds of problems because of where he was. And in the end, he ended up with $22 million. He filed that lawsuit claiming his rights of due process were violated. What were they thinking? I mean, how does that happen? Even if they got him on these things, they don't process him. They just, whoops, oh, yeah, he's back there. They were keeping him in solitary confinement. Yeah, he'll be okay. Now he's okay. We're punting. Hang with us.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225 or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
There's those sirens again. Well, they must have a broken siren because of budgetary reasons across the United States. A lot of police departments, they're short on the sirens. But you know what it's like. Can we hear that siren again? When you hear that. There it is. Oh, when that gets cranking. Now, come on. You are not human, folks. If the blood doesn't start to get pumping when you hear the siren. I mean, what's the first thing you're thinking when you get pulled over? Hopefully you're not thinking, oh my gosh, did I have something extra to drink? Hopefully you're thinking, okay, this is my fault. They couldn't, whatever they clocked me at, come on, this is not right. I'm going to fight this ticket, whatever it is. Why would they be pulling me over? But what's interesting, an interesting thing is the way men handle it versus women. So I thought it'd be fun every once in a while here on America Tonight to throw in a segment called Guy Stuff. And overwhelmingly in my own life, in a survey of men versus women, men have gotten more tickets than women. I've got two friends who are worried, you know, they're talking about going away and they don't want to drive because they know if they get one more ticket, their insurance goes up, they're in trouble, they have to take defensive driving again, and it's for a myriad of reasons, but most of them relating to speeding. At different zones, like one was in a school zone going too fast, another one had a cell phone in a school zone, but most of it was about speeding. And our own Matt Johnson found himself in that situation, I think, over the weekend or the week before. Matt, what happened to you?
It was last night. What are you talking about?
It was last night?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. What happened last night?
was driving home after we got off air and had the road to myself, and there's this little tricky place on the interstate that, because of the rich people that live by there, has been reduced to 45 miles an hour on a freeway, which is absolutely ridiculous. Most people speed through it. That's what I was doing. And there happened to be a state trooper with his lights off hanging around in the weeds there and got me.
Oh, bummer. And so you didn't argue, you just, whatever, you handed over your license and that was it.
I'm thinking about fighting it because I think it is completely ridiculous that just because some people have some money and influence, they get to reduce the speed limit on a freeway. And it's only for about a half mile. Well, it's probably like a mile. Half mile to a mile stretch goes from like 65 to 45.
65 to 45. Wow, that's a pretty fast reduction in a small amount of time.
It's, I think it's completely unjust. And there were no other cars on the road because it was, you know, close to 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
No one else around. I'm not endangering anyone else. It's a freeway. I'm going freeway speeds. I feel I have a legitimate argument, and I don't know. Sometimes you can fight those and win, and I don't know. I'm really upset about it, and I don't feel like you should be ticketed for going a freeway speed on a freeway.
Can anybody relate to Matt's plight? I haven't been there in a long time. I haven't gotten a ticket, knock on wood, in a while. The last time I got a ticket, I thought it wasn't fair either, and it was for what the police officer said was a California stop, saying that I didn't stop at the stop sign, and it wasn't a residential area. I wasn't speeding, but he was saying that I went through the stop sign, and I didn't stop enough. So like, what's stopping enough? How many seconds do you have to stop? So, knock on wood, that was a while ago because it was not a cheap ticket, but I've not, you know, racked up a lot of tickets in my day, luckily, and I've gotten out of tickets, actually, for things like Matt was saying, not where there was a crazy thing in a reduction of going on a freeway and the speed and a sign you could barely see, but something a little bit different where there was a U-turn sign, but you really couldn't see it. And nobody was around, and it was at a weird time of the night, and I did a U-turn and was pulled over for that, and he agreed with me. The cop actually said, you know what, I agree with you, this is ridiculous, and I'm tell you what, we're just gonna forget this, and that's it. I mean, we're good, but, you know, I'm sure there were other people after me that were nailed for that flip around.
See, I was kind of assuming I was going to get a warning, and people might be surprised because, whoa, you were going, you know, 20 miles over the speed limit. But given the time it was, you know, it's after bar close, I was kind of assuming he was just pulling me over to see if I had been drinking. I hadn't been, and then he was going to give me a firm warning and then be on my way because you got DUIs and other things you got to be looking at. And not wasting your time catching someone going freeway speeds in a freeway.
Yeah, I think that might be a fightable thing. I think you might be able to fight that. And I think for everybody listening that has felt the same thing that Matt's felt, you wrestle with, oh, should I just pay it? And it's almost like they're counting on you to just pay the ticket and not fight it, not go to court. Because the other thing is sometimes if the police officer, because they're tied up in something else, they don't go to court, then they just dismiss it. So you always also gamble and run the possibility that it would just get dismissed anyway. But that's definitely a guy thing. The ticket, wrestling with the ticket, deciding what to do, thinking it's wrong, especially with the reduced speeds and where you can't see it. And not that women don't get tickets. Plenty of women listening to the show have gotten tickets. But I think, really, honestly, when I look around, more of the men I know are getting speeding tickets than the women I know, to be sure. All right, here's another guy thing. How many of you are carrying around a janitor stack of keys in your pocket right now? This is how they do sound effects on the Universal lot. Somebody shakes their keys. All right, the keys you just heard there, can you even guess how many keys you just heard shaking? It's the keys to the Republican vote. No, it's actually Matt's keys as well. I heard him shaking them earlier in the show, and I thought, well, that's a guy thing, where guys carry around a lot of keys. Women do not carry a lot of keys unless they happen to be in a role where they're locking up a whole bunch of places. They own some kind of condominium, but even then they would have somebody who worked for them. I can't ever in my lifetime recall seeing a woman pull out of a purse or a bag or anything a whole mess of keys and slap them down on the table, usually one or two, a door key and a car key on the same key ring, maybe different key rings, but never a whole bunch of keys. I think every man I've ever dated in my life or married in my life have the janitor stack of keys like Matt. And then the worst is when they can't find them, because then literally the keys to everything, including things they don't know, have disappeared and you're in trouble. Hey, where'd the keys go? Well, I don't know. I lost every single key. I hope we have copies of those keys. A guy thing, not a female thing. Definitely, the more keys you carry, I don't know what it is. Is it keys to old cars, keys to old apartments, just keys you've collected, you don't even know what the keys are for? No woman could be bothered with that many keys. One or two maximum. And if they had other keys, they'd be on a different key ring. They wouldn't carry them around like that. This might be a guy thing, too, leaving money to a driver and a doorman. I think it's incredibly generous, and it's a great story that I came across today. This millionaire Park Avenue music mogul who was upset and lonely after his wife of 13 years got rid of him, you know, dumped him. He had some workers who gave him, you know, that conversation, the shoulder to cry on, that kind of thing. So when he died, he decided to leave the money, $1.5 million, to the two of them. How about that? Alan Meltzer is the guy's name. Might be familiar to some people because he had a little bit of fame. He was the head of a Wind-Up Records, and he was a celebrity high-stakes poker player. That's where some of you might recognize the name. He died last October, and it was like a year after he and his wife had divorced. They didn't have any kids. They had been married for over 13 years, and so he left them all of that money. How cool is that? The rich chauffeur, or at least the chauffeur gets that money, got $1 million, and the doorman got $500,000 from the will. That's cool. I bet you they had no clue that they were going to get that money. He might have even said to one or both of them, I don't know, that I didn't read that anywhere, that, geez, I'll take care of you or something, but I doubt it. And they were probably stunned when they learned that they were getting that money. I think that is so cool. That's a guy thing. Leaving the money, feeling jilted, depressed, needing a buddy, being kind of isolated. So the two people that are there working for you, he turns around and he spiffs them both in a very, very big way. His estate was like worth $10 million, so they got a pretty decent chunk of that for wherever the rest of it went. And I guarantee they were not expecting it. That's one of the best. In fact, that's one of the best stories that I've read, where somebody who was driving someone around, or you know, was their sort of companion for however long, got that money. 33% of the estate. I mean, this was a guy who had big personality. I remember seeing him on the tube playing poker. That's where I remember from. I didn't know that he was also the record guy. But, you know, he's got the money divvied up in other areas. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, gotta say. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to jump back into the business of politics. What's going on with the Democrats? What's happening with Barack Obama? While all of this shakes out in Florida with the Republicans, we're going to tell you next.
Warning.
The unprepared may not survive the next natural disaster, terrorist attack, pandemic, or economic collapse. In light of recent global unrest and natural disasters, we bring you this urgent message from David Morris, author of the acclaimed Urban Survival Course. Because this message is urgent, we won't waste time on the why you should act now. You already know why. It's the very real and growing dangers reported in the media every day. Now it's the what you must do. Go to myfreesurvivalminicourse.com and claim your free Urban Survival Mini Course that will prepare you right in your own home. Today, David Morris is offering you instant access to a 7-part Urban Survival Mini Course at myfreesurvivalminicourse.com. You should already be at your keyboard. Enough talk. Act now while you still have time and while it's still free. MyFreeSurvivalMiniCourse.com. MyFreeSurvivalMiniCourse.com or call 866-523-4076. 866-523-4076. You'll be glad you did.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And of course, anytime we're talking about this administration or we're talking about terrorism, or we'd like to talk to him anyway, Jeff Atticott, our terrorism expert, joins us now. And Jeff, apparently you made some big news out of Washington. It was the Washington Examiner, and it has to do with a Marine, and apparently he endangered a tractor. Flush that story out for us.
Yeah, one of the things our Center for Terrorism Law does is we defend for free soldiers that are wrongfully accused of war crimes or crimes on the battlefield and punished for those things. And in this particular case, the dad is a retired Navy SEAL by the name of Mark Waddell out of Dallas, Texas. He called me up about 2 weeks ago and said his son was relieved and given a fitness report that ends his career, and would we help him? So I looked into the facts, and it was just unbelievable. What happened is you had an IED that went off on the 28th of October that caused a Marine to lose two legs and a hand, and so the lieutenant in this particular outfit got permission to track the bad guy down, an insurgent, enemy combatant. On the 1st of November, he received permission to engage this target, which they identified from a helicopter, so they shot him. He was wounded. Some other insurgents came out and put him on a tractor to try to get him away, so the lieutenant ordered the Marine snipers to continue firing. They disabled the tractor, killed the bad guy, and from all all appearances, it was a good kill, no civilians killed. And then a month later, the battalion commander relieves him from his command and gives him a fitness report that basically ends his career. And in there, they say that you violated our little rules of engagement because you shot the tractor and killed the tractor. And you just can't make this stuff up. So we've been fighting for this guy. I've been to see Senator Cornyn. We're getting in touch with the Pentagon. And it's just another case of these rules of engagement gone wild where for doing their duty, killing the enemy in combat.
Yeah, no kidding. And Joshua Waddell, the guy you're talking about, this first lieutenant, thank goodness he contacted you guys. I mean, this is a guy, right, that was awarded a Bronze Star during his first tour of duty in Afghanistan. He comes back for a second. I mean, Jeff, he was obviously on his way to an incredible career.
Yeah, he was. In fact, he himself had stepped on a low-impact IED, so he wasn't seriously wounded. And I actually went to the general, one-star general, in theater in Afghanistan and made him aware of the case and told him to, you know, do it the right thing and reinstate him, tear up the fitness report. The general non-concurred with the battalion commander but refused to tear up the fitness report. So now it's in his records, and we're trying to fight that to get it out of the records. But it's just, you know, from the top down, our soldiers are given these rules of engagement that don't make any daggone sense, and they ruin careers over our heroes that are fighting for us. And and you know, luckily this guy had a dad that was a Navy SEAL that contacted me, because there are hundreds of cases out there where people in our own chain of command are abusing their authority and punishing our soldiers under these silly, ridiculous, absurd rules of engagement, which we self-impose. They're not required by the law of war. They're self-imposed.
And why is this, especially in Afghanistan, is it to please the president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, or why is that?
Yeah, a lot of it is to please the president. You know, we restrict night attacks. We have to cross our T's and dot our I's. If there's a civilian anywhere near where we're engaging the target, we have to stop shooting. And this is not required by the law of war. They're self-imposed because we want to, quote-unquote, be nice to the Afghanis and win their hearts and minds. But, you know, when you're being killed, when this particular insurgent killed or seriously wounded one of the Marines in their platoon, two legs lost, a hand lost, and now we're going to coddle this person when you have an opportunity to kill him. This lieutenant did the right thing by killing this person. No civilians were killed, by the way. And a tractor, they actually put in his release thing that he wounded the tractor. You know, it, unbelievable.
Wow. And the thing is, too, about this, if I'm right, and you would know more than I would, because you're in the middle of this case that's getting all this attention, but the way things work, and he was up for a promotion, and he obviously was decorated, was a hero, that kind of guy, Waddell. So now, at this point, isn't it really up to the commander, whether or not, you know, the battalion commander as to what's going to happen? I mean, if they say, okay, well, even if we talk about this tractor and we clear his name, he still might not get promoted. In fact, that's likely that won't happen, right?
Well, as long as that piece of paper is in his records, he will not get promoted. His promotion board, though, this battalion commander will not sit on that board. If we get the paper pulled out, the battalion commander doesn't get to write him an efficiency report. So if anybody's really concerned with this, we're trying to get Senator Cornyn from Texas energized to help us. So if any of your listeners want to send Senator Cornyn an email and say, please help Lieutenant Waddell, it would be much appreciated, because that's where we're going national with this, just to bring, you know, to bring to bear what pressure we can, because they're not charging him with a crime, so I can't go into court and defend him. They're simply stabbing him in the back with these administrative procedures.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so we'll be pushing that for sure. Everybody get the pen and paper out. We're going to give you all this stuff, and we're going to send massive emails to Senator Cornyn to try to get more eyes on this story. I think it's just such a travesty. And, you know, this is something, Jeff, that you and I have talked about for a long time. I think one of the very first times that we ever had a discussion, we talked about the rules of engagement, and you said back then, and this was probably 2.5-3 years ago, how ridiculous they were and how hamstrung our military is, and this is a huge part of the problem, isn't it?
It's huge, and our soldiers, you know, are asked to do things that is simply impossible. Our president has set us up for defeat in Afghanistan. He can't define victory. He's negotiating with our enemies. He's tying the hands of our soldiers so we can't do the job that we're supposed to do. And then when we do have, you know, a particular spectacular event like we had with the Navy SEALs, he uses a personal pronoun about 100 times, and is ignoring the big picture, which is we have to achieve victory, and you cannot do that by coddling these people. If you're going to kill enemy combatants, you've got to go in and do it. and this idea that, well, it's asymmetrical warfare, we can't do that, then get out. If you're not going to go in there and crush the enemy, identify the enemy, then we have no business being there.
Yeah, amen. I agree with you 100%. We'll keep eyes on that, and we'll do everything we can to help, Jeff. Since we have you here, I'd be remiss not to ask you about the State of the Union address. You watched, you saw how the start of the State of the Union, there was praise heaped on the military, and whether you're Republican or Democrat, who's not going to applaud that? And then ending with the military. How did you find that? How did that go down for you as you watched the president in that course of an hour?
Well, again, you know, I agree that our military needs to be praised, but the commander-in-chief, mm-hmm. it's his job to direct the military towards military victory. There is no substitute for military victory. As I said many times, he absolutely did the wrong thing in Iraq by pulling us out early, and he's done the wrong thing in Afghanistan by not taking advantage of the death of Osama bin Laden and getting us out then so we could be victorious. He's using the military card because he knows that Americans are patriotic. He wants to wrap himself in the American flag as a great war leader. He's absolutely inept in terms of a commander-in-chief, in terms of providing clarity to our soldiers, in terms of providing clarity about what military commissions are, no clarity about Guantanamo Bay, no clarity about indefinite detention issues, about drone issues. He simply goes from pillar to post and gives a great speech, and you know, but I was left kind of very upset, because when you peel back the very thin veneer that he presents, he is not being a responsible commander-in-chief in directing our national security and our military.
Yeah, and you saw that, of course, leading up to this, it was just a few weeks ago, even we spoke about this, the dramatic cuts that they're talking about for defense, and ultimately what does that mean to people here in the States who have come back and also people who are currently serving? I think it's unsustainable. What do you think? The military.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, somehow liberals believe that there's never going to be another war, and therefore we'll just reduce our military, and everybody will see that as a sign of peace and the olive branch. History shows that when you reduce your military, you guarantee war a lot sooner, because our totalitarian enemies see that as a sign of weakness. We have no saber to rattle because we have no saber. This president has refused to put a dime towards modernizing our nuclear weapons, even though that was requested by our Secretary of Defense, the previous one, because somehow he has this naive idea that we can get rid of nuclear weapons and the world's going to be a lovely place. He has disoriented reality in that regard. He's on the wrong side of history, and he's placing our country in great jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. All right, so we're going to rally the troops, everything we can do, Jeff, to help in this situation. It's just a crazy, crazy story about the rules of engagement and Joshua Waddell, a first lieutenant in the U.S. Marines. I'm glad you're involved in this one, and let's hope that we have a good end to this, because what a sad, sad story. As somebody, and I mentioned this at the top, and you know this, going back, dipping back again to go for a second time, another tour of duty, that's a terrible thing to do to someone like Waddell.
Yeah, he was very reluctant to raise this issue, but he's doing the right thing for all the soldiers that are out there that have been abused by these ridiculous rules.
Jeff, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate.
Jeff, thanks. I'll start hitting that hard. I'll hit the whole thing on Cornyn. I'll give that out, and I'll put it on the websites and stuff.